moment when the music hits. You go, Ken's not here. Yeah. Oh, I got it.
We're all Ken Rudolph.
I'm so sorry. There's, you know, I haven't been here. So the people I hadn't seen in the hallway, and then they stopped me, and I wanted to be nice. I like the people here, so I wanted to stop and talk.
That's another T-shirt idea right there.
Yeah.
We are all Ken Rudolph.
Yes.
Actually, yes, you are. Yeah. You guys get angry about stuff, right? Get frustrated.
How did that just happen?
What happened now?
Did you guys not see me over here going through my bag and through my pockets trying to find my lip balm?
Yeah. You used it.
Did you lose your lip balm?
Before you left the room.
It's right here in my pocket.
Oh, that one. You had the egg.
Well, I went to my car to get this. This was in my pocket the whole time. I am completely out of sorts today.
Oh, man. You want a hug?
I kind of do.
Come on, man. Hug it out.
I kind of do.
Hug it out.
Nobody ever offers to give me. That was an extra.
A hug anymore.
Yeah. When was the last time you had a hug, huh? Do you want to talk about your dad? Did you want to talk about your feelings?
Man, that just blew my mind.
But you're not chapped anymore?
No. Yeah.
Your lips look extraordinary.
Thank you, sir.
Very LL-ish, if you will.
Right.
We got tickets to see your Sacramento Kings coming up this hour right around 1:40. You'll hear your keyword of the day. When you hear it, text that keyword to 44-1140. Again, that's coming up right around 1:40. That'll be your chance to win. Got three the hard way. Coming up here in just a little bit, Mardi Gras theme, about 10 minutes or so. All right, we had a conversation, Ken. Want to bring you in on this. I'm an unapologetic fan of Russell Westbrook. I love Russ. I love what he's doing this year. I feel like we've had this conversation about, you know, it's really a two-man race with the MVP, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. It seems like because of the way Houston is playing, a lot of people are leaning towards James Harden with the turnaround that they made from last year with Mike D'Antoni coming in, Dwight Howard being gone. James Harden, essentially, it feels like Harden has to a certain degree changed his game. How well he's distributing the ball, everything he's doing. He's just shy of a triple-double. His averages right now are 25.7, 7.9, and 8.9. So you want to consider him the league leader in the clubhouse for the MVP, that's fine. Russell Westbrook right now is averaging 30.1, 10.6, 10.3. Points, rebounds, assists. He's averaging a triple-double. You've heard the narrative 1,000 times before. It's only happened once. 1961, Oscar Robertson. No one else has done it. I want to hit James Harden's averages one more time for you. 25.7, 7.9, 8.9. I'm going to give you a couple of more averages.
Wait, say those, James Harden, those?
25-7, 7.9,
8.9? That must be LeBron.
Because James has...
That is LeBron.
Yeah, that has to be LeBron.
I was saying
LeBron. Let's play that game. Just give me the numbers, and I'll tell you who the player is. Let's do that.
Well, I totally ruined it. I mixed them up because I was going to read LeBron's and have you guess who it was.
Yeah.
They're so close, but we don't talk about LeBron James as the MVP this year.
Uh-uh, because we expect to see
They're
that.
They're so close.
I know.
No one ever said, man, LeBron James is the MVP of the league right now.
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to ruin it. I thought you were going to something.
I screwed it up. I totally screwed the whole bit up.
But I guess because we expect it, right? He's the best player on the planet. You expect to see him go out there and do what he does.
We want you to be great. Just don't be great that long. His averages are more or the same. His rebounds and assists, they're either more or the same than all four of his MVP years. The only thing that's lower is points, and it's anywhere from 1 point lower, and just talking just about MVP years, 1.2 points lower, all the way up to 3.3 points lower.
And it's also that question.
No conversation.
Who's more valuable? Because if Russ is not there, we know Oklahoma City's not making the playoffs, right? There's no way.
I don't think.
9 games above 500 right now, by the way.
But if LeBron's not there,
lottery.
Right? Like, they're not even going to bother with the whole trying to see who gets the first ball. They're like, oh, my, you're so bad, Cleveland. We're going to go ahead and give you the first one. Mm. You automatically get the first pick because you're that bad. Like, they can't do anything without him. So that's also a factor, right, in determining how valuable that player is. But, yeah, it's a tough one. He's never going to get his just due, I don't think.
So with all of that, I mean, he's got 4. It's not like he's been ignored, but...
But he could have more.
He could have more, yeah.
Right, and that's the thing.
It's like how Kobe was. He could have been the MVP every year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. But I want to pose a question to you, Ken, that I posed to Jason yesterday. If Russell Westbrook doesn't win the MVP this year and he's averaging a triple-double, we have to stop acknowledging that the triple-double means anything. Because we put it, oh, so-and-so got the first triple-double of their career or the 10th triple-double of their career. Every time any player gets a triple-double in the NBA, I get an alert on my phone. It's a big deal. If he averages a triple-double and doesn't win the MVP, well, how meaningless is that stat? Well, or that accomplishment.
Does it matter the kind of triple-double, i.e., we saw nights last year where Rajon Rondo was a triple-double guy. But it's 11 points, 11 assists, sure. 11 rebounds. That's still a triple-double, but it's not nearly as impactful as 30.
30, 10, and 10.
10 and 10.
Yeah.
So are we putting an emphasis on how that triple-double is or just the triple-double?
In terms of the MVP conversation, we can.
Okay.
Because he's having 40-point triple-doubles. Now, granted, Harden is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're getting enamored, and the people that will vote are attached to that stat. And I don't blame him, but let's just say, because I think he is going to make it, average a triple-double. If he fails, and think about what failing will be, like 9.9 boards a game, 9.9 assists. I mean, he'll just be short. He's not going to drop to six. He has to completely fall off the map. So he's going to either make it or be really short. And if the only criteria of you voting for the MVP is because he averages it, why would it matter if he's short? Like, because, again, it's going to be fractions.
Right.
If that's what you're voting for him for. I mean, he's a fantastic talent. But if you're doing it, well, no one's ever done it. That's significant.
But it's also going to be interesting. The people who vote, they watch the games.
Right.
Right? So it's also, how is he getting that triple-double?
Yeah.
Not just the fact that we're talking about trying to make the distinction between, you know, just the 11-11-11 triple-double versus the 30-10-10 triple-double. There's that. But there's also, how is he getting this triple-double when you go and see how many shots he's taking per game?
Well, what about
how
this?
How much he dominates the ball, that sort of thing.
What about this then? And since I screwed it up, it's 28-8-11.
Yeah,
that's what I was building to. I was building to LeBron's, but I read my wrong note.
Okay.
So I'm a loser and messed that up. Yeah, but no. Harden's is 28-8-11. So that's where his averages are at. But what about this? Do you factor in the fact that Kevin Durant left? When you're voting for MVP, do you factor in what he was able to do when a superstar left his team? That he not only kept his team, he kept his team well above water and got them into the playoffs.
That's tough because in basketball, we talk about how one man can control the game. And, yeah, I don't know how much credit I give him for that.
Because if we're factoring in James Harden and what he's doing in Houston and the fact that they're winning more, do we split credit with Mike D'Antoni? I mean, is Mike D'Antoni headed towards a Coach of the Year award?
Yeah, I think so. But your player has to also embrace that change. And if Westbrook came through this year, let's say in Durant's gone, right? And instead of being a 30-10-10, he's a 15-10-15 guy. Where he's giving me less points but more assists and less turnovers. And then, therefore, I see, Oladipo's averaging 20 points a game or 17 points a game. Cantor's averaging 17 points a game. Oh, I wonder where that's coming from. That's because this guy who's the leader, who's in charge of the ball, is distributing and making them better. That's the one thing that I think hurts his MVP chances. He's not making the players around him better, and he does not appear to have any desire to do so.
Yeah, I don't think Westbrook changed his game. That Durant left. I mean, Westbrook was close to a triple-double guy every game last year anyway with him. I think Harden's changed his game.
Yeah.
He's done more to – I mean, the fact that a guy who wasn't a point guard, and you could say he is or isn't now, is leading the league in assists, that's pretty amazing. And still fourth in scoring.
Yeah.
And they're winning more than OKC.
You know, that shows me that there's also more of a ceiling in the sense that when they get to the playoffs – I feel like he's still going to have that extra kick because he hasn't been carrying the team all year with his scoring. So you haven't really had to have a game where they had to see him go off and do his thing to get them back into it. He's doing it at what appears to be within the flow of Mike D'Antoni's offense, where every single game, Russ is intent. Like, he's trying to get 50, it seems, every single game. It seems like he is. Harden doesn't seem to be trying to do that. He's carrying himself within the framework of the game plan, and I think that's more impressive as well.
44-11-40 on the text line. Hey, Damien, this V stands for value. It stands for valuable, as in value to winning. OKC, maybe 500. They might be. They're not. They're 34-25. There's only a six-game difference between Oklahoma City and Houston. It's not a monumental difference between these two teams. And by the way, Oklahoma City's playing pretty well right now. They've had stretches where they've played great this year. Granted, they've had stretches where it's been a little rocky for them, but they're playing really good basketball. And you have to attribute that, at least in my mind, to Russell Westbrook.
Oh, so whether you mention Mike D'Antoni, how come we don't mention Billy Donovan?
Because we know better.
Why? What are you talking about? I mean, yeah, his team gave up a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals last year, but that was his first year.
So did Steve Kerr. He's a pretty good coach.
That's his first year.
A pretty good coach.
So, I mean, like, he is doing a great job of somehow getting the guys to kind of rally around Russell, do their jobs, get out of his way.
We're going to ask this question probably 1,000 more times. Who's the MVP right now?
I'll go with Harden.
Why? Why is it James Harden?
Number one in assists, winning more, fourth in scoring, changed his game more than anybody else had to.
Who's number one in scoring? Fine. Who would you vote for?
JaVale McGee?
Come on, Shaq.
Is it too soon? I would still vote for LeBron. He's the most valuable player. Like, we don't even know. The Eastern Conference is the NCAA tournament without LeBron. Anybody's got a shot. But true. With him over there, yeah. You do not.
See you next year. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
You going Russ?
Of course I'm going Russ. Unbelievable. We've accomplished nothing. We are useless. There's three of us, and we couldn't come up with a consensus on an MVP race that has been promoted as a two-man race. There's freaking three of us.
Why are they only saying it's between Harden and Russ?
Because people
Durant and Kawhi to
right.
me. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that they'll get there.
Kawhi won't even be in the conversation.
But he should be.
He absolutely should be, and Kevin Durant should be too. Kevin Durant's having a hell of a year.
Is he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Kevin Durant is having a great year.
But he's also having nights of inconsistency that we're like, ooh, what is he like?
His great year is exactly the same as LeBron's. It's like,
you're on a great team.
Well, cool, he is. That's what we expect.
But they are still 50-9.
Yeah.
Yikes.
In San Antonio, still second best record in the entire league. No one's talking about him. Oh, we're all enamored with Houston. Oh, Cleveland, we posed the question, is this Andrew Bogut thing going to interfere with Deron Williams? We were off the air 5 minutes before that alert came in. Oh, Deron Williams is going to play tonight for the Cleveland. Oh, he signed and played. All right, cool.
I'm still so shocked. Sorry, San Antonio is still the only team that has more road wins than home wins?
Yeah.
They just win.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't really care.
That's crazy.
Jack, weigh in on this.
All right, man. Most valuable player, not most impressive stats. Look, LeBron is suffering from Michael Jordan syndrome right now. Best player on the planet. They just get tired of giving him the award, so they got to think about somebody else to give it to. I still go with LeBron. Like Ken said, you take LeBron off the team, they're a lottery team. I mean, easily. Now, what Westbrook is doing is absolutely amazing, dude. If he averages a triple-double, that's great. I don't think I can agree with your comment that Damian, that if he doesn't win, we take value off the triple-double. It's just a matter of how he gets those triple-doubles. Are they winning the majority of those games, or are they losing? You know, is he just more about getting his, or is he more about being valuable to the team?
Can I answer that for you right now? He has 29
absolutely.
Triple-doubles. He has, Jack, he has 29 triple-doubles on the year. They're 23-6 when he has them.
Perfect. Thank you for that number, because I know, like, last season, whenever Durant would be out and he'd have these monster games, they typically would
lose.
Well.
They would lose, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Jack, yep.
I just think it's LeBron. I mean, he just flies under the radar because he's the greatest player on the planet, that when he has these stats like he's got now, we expect that. So, he's just having a normal LeBron year. There's nothing amazing about it.
Except the fact that it's absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And that's the type of player LeBron is. Jack, thank you so much for that call. I guess this is, again, it's a question we're going to have to pose until the end of the year, because there's not going to be a consensus. This is going to be a hell of a race.
Oh, I get to go. Thank you.
So beautiful, don't you agree?
So earlier there was the news story came out that involved the San Francisco 49ers in the sense that Kirk Cousins had said, hey, if I'm going to be traded before they put the franchise tag, he's like, if I want to be traded, I'm going to San Francisco so I can be with Kyle. I like his system. Well, that didn't work out. I started thinking, I was like, I'm sure if every player out there had a destination, they would let you know. I was like, forget about players. We're all players. What city would you like to be traded to? Whether you wanted to go there to do a show or whether you just like the city or, you know, there's a girl you used to have a crush on in junior high school that's there now, whatever the case may be. What city would you like to be traded to?
Do you want to answer first with that last little line you threw in? Because
oh,
that didn't
no.
Come,
No. Okay. I was just spitballing.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right. All right. There's nothing
me.
To see here, folks.
Hot mic. Hot
there
mic
is
here.
Nothing to see
hot
here.
Mic.
Hello?
Yeah. Is this the
I mean, I've told you guys before. I don't know that I'd love to work there, at least in the capacity that we do, because it's well, it's the nation's capital. But I love D.C. You got the Skins there, the Nationals. I don't know that I would love doing sports there, though, because I don't feel like people totally care, because it's not what it is. Like I feel like we'd go do a tremendous show and we'd lose to like 10 political talk shows.
True. But you do have a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you never run out of material.
Ovechkin's still there, right?
With
the Caps?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you gotta. There's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff there. And then there, you know, say you want to send me to South Beach. I'm not gonna complain. I don't think I can afford to live in South Beach, so I've been there once. Place is expensive.
Yeah, you can't afford to be there, not financially.
Right.
You can't afford to be there mentally and emotionally.
Well, that too.
It will change a man.
San Diego, the South Beach of California.
That's great.
Maybe do that. No, there's no pro team there, so you would just have
true.
To.
The market's horrible, though. You don't need to
be my way.
Padres here. Hello.
Padres.
What are the Padres?
Padres here.
Exactly.
You were going to, I knew you were going to work in a baseball reference one way or the other.
Yay. I love baseball.
Too soon. This is a tricky one. I mean, they're kind of what you said, too, Damien, along, like, I'm from LA, Los Angeles down there, and I think, okay, there's some charm to that, but I don't think that's a great, like, when you said if you were traded, so traded to go work down there and work in sports, right? I don't know. I don't feel like there's the same. There's a lot more going on down there, but there's also a lot more going on down there. And I don't know that
yes.
It would have the same kind of zip that maybe it feels like it does here. I've always been, you know, with family curious about New Orleans. I think it's a fun city. I don't know how it would be to be there all the time. But and then the one, this is all out of curiosity, and you brought it. I've actually never been there, just flown through there and gone out. But Miami has always intrigued me. I don't know how it would be there, but I would think that would be. Maybe you'd be like, oh, send me there. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, send me back.
It's humid.
Yeah.
Oh, the humidity.
I'm not a fan of humidity.
Oh, the humidity.
Yeah. Yeah, South Beach, I could never work there.
Can you visit?
They would find me somewhere after about 8 months because all that stuff down there is awesome.
Fun story. When I was in South Beach, I was at the nightclub that Suge Knight got shot at.
What was Which one?
It was during the I don't remember. It was the only one that the MTV paid for us to get into because they were like $90 to $100 cover charges.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not going. Like, no. Like, I'm not doing that. Oh, we'll get you into this one. Yeah, Suge Knight got shot in the
– So
in the,
so they were like, oh, you want to come in?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
You want to come on in? Yeah, I couldn't do South Beach. I did that one time. I came working there, and then I actually got, like, VIP service at a club one night, and I was like, oh, yeah. This is a trouble.
Yeah.
This is trouble for me. Alonzo Mourning is right next. This is trouble. I do not need this treatment. Please take everything away from me. I don't have any control. But I think the only city that I would, because my wife really wants to go there and she's always pestering me to do this, would be New York. Mm. Yeah, only city I would accept a trade to is New York. Because then I could go and, I'm sure Charlie Rose is ready to get out of the way and I'll do CBS this morning. And everybody be happy.
You want to live in New York?
Well, if I'm doing that show, I'll make a couple million dollars,
well,
and then you can live in New York.
That's true.
You dig?
But still, New York is such a... I've seen one grocery store in
There is no
New
grocery
York.
Store. Like, there's no supermarket. You mean like that?
Yeah, there's one Whole Foods, and I know where it's at. That's it.
Yeah.
I've stayed in Upper East Side. I've stayed in all sorts... Harlem, Brooklyn, all sorts of different places. No grocery store.
Nope.
I guess you just go out to eat for every meal, or you stop at a little stand and grab a wrap sandwich.
You want dinner?
Keep it moving.
But you got to go get your meat first.
Yeah, that's one stop.
Then you got to go to the bakery.
That's another stop.
Then you got to go get your produce. All that stuff's got to happen. All these different stores.
And you don't want a car.
You want something to drink?
There's no chance.
That's a whole other store, too. Yeah. It's not easy.
No.
No.
That's why you have to make, in my opinion, a considerable amount of money to live in New York.
Which you would, likely.
I'm not trying to go there to do anything else. Like, if I'm going there, there's got to be something happening, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. What was the name of that club, Chris? The Shore Club?
I don't remember. Oh, okay. It was the free one. That's all I knew. It was the only one that didn't cost between $90 and $120.
Man. I have never paid a cover charge to get into a club. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, let me get this straight, especially like places like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to pay $90 to get in here. Now, we all know the rules. I know that lady got in for free. So I got to pay $90 when I get in here, and I got to pay for bottle service.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to buy drinks for everybody. Come on, man. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened when you moved to New York. You have all that money.
I'm not going out. I did my now
I'm
wife.
Sure there won't be any problems when you're making more. If he's filling in for Charlie, if he's taking Charlie Rose, but we're fine. We're going to New York to Ken's house.
That's right.
Just before my wife and I got married, she had a birthday in New York. I flew out there, and I was like, yeah, I'm big baller. We'll have it at a club and bottle service. They came around with that bill.
You still remember it.
I still remember it to this day. I was like, my. Okay, that was all right.
Marty from Philly says he's headed off to Seattle. He's going to.
That's where he'd be traded to.
I don't know why Marty from Seattle. Philly wants to be traded to Seattle, but that's where he's going. Right. Seattle's a cool town, though. I like
it. It's a good one to visit.
All
right, guys, here's my three the hard way. Today is Mardi Gras down there, and people going crazy in New Orleans. Anytime they have a parade and party, they do it. It's also the day before, you know, for Catholics, the day before Ash Wednesday. It's the day to have Fat Tuesday is what today is also referred to. So with that said, kind of a little off the board today, what would be the thing that you would just indulge in your, I don't want to say your final meal, but kind of your Fat Tuesday?
To get fat.
Yeah, like this is the day, like I'm not worried about calories, what I'm eating, food, drink, dessert, take it all in and think about that.
And we'll answer that here in just a heartbeat. We'll want to hear yours. We're having a fun, lighthearted three the hard way version here. 44-11-40. Also, Dolphins owner is doing some great things for his players. We'll explain all of that, answer these questions. And your boy, Jason Ross, Lonzo Ball's dad needs to shut up. He really needs to stop talking. We'll explain as we continue here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Got your chance to win Kings tickets coming up in just about 7 to 10 minutes or so. As soon as we punch out of here, you'll hear something that will tell you to call. You'll hear something that will give you a keyword. You text that keyword to 44-11-40. We say 140, but it'll be closer to 142-ish or so, 141, 142. So just stick around, hang out, and have fun, and listen up for that. That'll be your chance to enter to win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings. Your question.
Yes.
Fat Tuesday.
Correct.
So I didn't.
And I don't know how you're going to interpret this.
Right.
It
could be your total, your ultimate cheat day.
Yeah. I threw the vegan stuff out the window because I like, what am I going to give me a bean burger? Like, right. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Do you have something in that realm? Like, if there's something under your what you eat, do you go, oh, or is everything
French fries? Like I love
vegan fries.
I love French fries. Okay. Like a real cheat meal. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of vegan junk food. There's like fake, like chicken strips and chicken nuggets and things like that. There's stuff that's fake. But I threw all that out and was like, if this is how I'm going out, I'm gonna go out with something, you know, that if I lived, it would make me sick.
Okay, good. But, now good. Now good we're answer. Talking. Now we're talking.
But I kept the French fries because the French fries
that's
have
fine.
To be
no,
a
no,
part
that's
of
awesome.
It. I'll probably get French fries tonight just because we're having this conversation and it seems appropriate with a prime rib.
Oh.
Or like prime rib. Maybe if I were, you know, up it a little bit, maybe a porterhouse. Just so I can have them both.
That's good. That's nice. Yeah,
go to a porterhouse and French fries. You said I could have a little drink with it. Just give me a tall Moscow mule.
Oh, it's crisp.
Roll there. Yeah,
refreshing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's good for a hot day.
Absolutely.
If you will. This is a very specific one. A cookies and cream Chick-fil-A milkshake. It's the greatest milkshake I've ever had.
Really?
Wow, who knew?
Yes. That.
Okay.
And I miss those greatly. And chocolate cake. Then you can kill me. I'm fine with that.
Chocolate cake at the end?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Probably with the milkshake.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, double down.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
And if you didn't kill me, I would die. Like that meal would probably kill me based on.
Good luck washing down chocolate cake with a milkshake.
Oh man,
good
luck with that. Come on, man. You can do anything. You can do anything you put your mind to, brother. It'll work. Claim Jumper had that 7-layer chocolate cake.
Yes.
Used to be like this big. I'd smash it.
I felt like I'm a grown ass man.
Claim
jumper is just like a challenge when you walk in the door.
It is.
It's like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
It's not how can we help you. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It's either you or it's me when you're standing
at
the menu.
Say good luck.
It's like, they're not messing around. But the first time I did that, I was like, you've got to be kidding. We could all eat that one serving.
That Kevin Hart, it's about to go down.
And that's how we get into my meal. Because I'll mess around with celebratory dinners, people. I got a whole routine. All right, I'm going to need some space.
This is a process.
So the first thing I will do.
Trust the process, Jason. Trust the process.
Because my wife is a crazy person, is I always agree that as soon as we get to a restaurant, I will always have a small salad to start. Okay? So I'll have the small salad to start. And I do mean small salad. Like maybe one little tomato wedge in there and a couple things of cucumbers and some lettuce.
So you have to do this?
It's like a routine.
Okay.
I do it for her. And then I go in. You know what I have first? I have a piece of banana cream pie with caramel drizzle. Because for some strange reason, I found out when I was younger that eating sweets makes me want meat. So once I figured that out, I started eating my dessert first. It's the craziest thing.
I've heard that before. I've heard that before.
So when I have a small piece of banana cream pie with a little caramel drizzle, after that, like 10, 15 minutes later, I want meat. So then we go to work after that. We have a little shrimp cocktail. Got to have that nice and spicy. I will be drinking champagne Bellinis. Have you ever had these? So I had this when I was in Barbados once. It was champagne with peach schnapps and vodka and then some other juices in there.
Sounds good.
It's awesome. Yeah. So I'm drinking that. I have shrimp cocktail. Now the main course. Grilled lobster tail and filet mignon. Medium on the grill. I want a side. Because like we're going to the big steak restaurant, right? You get the sides, right? I want a side of mushrooms. I want a side of garlic mashed potatoes. I also want a side of collard greens. If I can get that, it'd be great. And then...
like he's ordering now. If I could get that, that'd be all right.
That'd be awesome. And then at the end, I would like to have a light dessert. So that would either be a sorbet or...
Sorbet's not dessert.
Well, because I already have banana cream pie to start.
Yeah, it's not dessert.
Right, you get
or
more?
I'll have if it's a nice light tiramisu. I'll have that to end with a cup of coffee.
Why are you going light? Why does it matter now?
Because I've done all the damage already, so I like to end. I don't like to end heavy.
He's going to have a Diet Coke, too.
Exactly.
See, I like to end light. I don't like to end with something that's heavy because I've been doing heavy already. So I always like to end with something that's light.
I'm sorry. All I heard at the beginning of that was my wife is crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So your wife is the crazy one in the relationship. That's all I got out of it.
Everything else in that meal is fantastic. Come on.
But you got to have the salad.
We do have a small salad. I do that because she's got a point. Like, I always have a salad. I'm like, I will.
Fat Tuesday, J. Ross. Where are you going?
See, here's my dilemma. Everybody's got their dilemma. I always like the kind of, not the appetizers, but something you can eat almost before your meal. So, I think one of the charms of Italian food is you get some great garlic bread.
That's true.
But then I think about Mexican food, and if you have chips, like a good chip with guacamole or salsa, that's...
Guacamole's extra.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
I'll go in on that one. I'm gonna have to do the Mexican food. I think.
What do you mean? Like you get what?
Well, because I don't think that I almost want to have both of those, like the garlic bread and the chips and salsa. But then what's
Fat
the
food? Tuesday? You can do what you want.
All right, then I'm having some sort of combo of some incredible pasta dish.
My goodness, what are you running a marathon?
Refried beans?
Nah, not the beans. Maybe like a taco and a burrito. Taco maybe in there somewhere in there. Man, it's a tough choice, but the end is it's the dessert's the most important.
What's your dessert?
Mud pie.
Mud pie?
It's just like some version of like a chocolate cookie on the bottom, like an Oreo cookie, ice cream, chocolate. It's got to be ice cream.
Like an It's It? Is that a mud pie?
Sure, that can be in there, but that's more like you hold it. This is messy.
Oh, it's in a bowl or something?
Yeah.
I've never
He's
got
to lay down a towel.
Yeah. Right?
He takes a bath when he's done with the mud pie.
I lay in it, work my way out.
Eat your way out. Yeah. I've never had mud pie before.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it's... Some places call it that. Yeah, it's like a chocolate. I think it's a chocolate Oreo base, like a crust.
Yeah.
And then more like a coffee ice cream. And
ooh. Do you have to order it? Like, because when I go to restaurants, if you tell me I got to order my dessert 45 minutes in advance, I don't mess with that. Is it one of those?
No, not necessarily. But why? You won't order it or you'll order it 45 minutes in advance?
No, I don't have time for that. Oh. No, because I don't trust it.
What do you mean you don't trust it?
Like, I got to order this 45 minutes in advance. That means if I don't time it right, something's going to be wrong. Like, I don't want to mess with that.
It just means you have to wait.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's like the chocolate
so they ask
souffle,
you to, they tell you to order it before you order dinner. You order before you order dinner so that it'll be done around the time you're done with dinner.
What are you doing back there with that?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's chocolate and some cake. What are you doing?
Members of Tex Nation are taking exception to your medium filet. I'm not clear why. They're
medium
taking
rare?
Medium as charcoal. Yeah.
No, well, no, medium rare.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, the Tex Nation misunderstood.
That's
I think
fine.
I'll try your drink. Maybe I'll wash it down with your drink.
Oh, man. Maybe it was because of the environment that I was in.
Could be.
In Barbados, and it was, you know, just a great day, and I just remember having like two or three of those. It was my one day off I had there before we had to go back to work for 3 days.
Yeah. What's in your drink?
Ginger beer, vodka, lime juice, and when I'm really trying to impress people, I'll drop a little maple syrup in there.
Oh, really?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any, does mint go in there?
Some people,
no mint spray?
Don't you ruin my drink with mint.
Hey, man.
No, brother, no.
Okay, well, you're going to put maple syrup in there. How's that?
This is sweeten it up a little bit. I don't tell people I do it. They go, oh, this is good. Yeah, you know, it is. You ain't going to be able to replicate it either.
Uh-huh. There it is right there.
Am I the only person that doesn't celebrate Fat Tuesday? That came from the text line. Nope.
No, tons of people don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't worry. Tomorrow's question will be about Lent, what you'll give up.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, the whole point, you're right. But a lot of the people, the whole point is to have this massive meal because they're going to give up a lot of the things that they enjoy as far as what they eat. So they try to get it all in today.
Kudos to the first person who asked us if we eat our steak with ketchup.
Who eats their steak with ketchup?
Wow. Not me. We'll tell you during the break, and we'll come back. Why Jason Ross, your boy, Lonzo Ball's dad, needs to stop talking. His latest round of ridiculousness next here on The Lowdown. Tweet here says the chocolate cake at Claim Jumper was the size of a car battery.
No, it is. They're not lying.
Should have come with a syringe of insulin.
They're not kidding because, man, those. The first time I was on a work trip, you know, Fox or whatever, and we stopped off. There's a Claim Jumper down there in, like, Orange County somewhere. I mean, we all went inside. And then we all ordered, and I had never been there before. And I'm watching everyone else's servings come over, and I'm like, what the? You're going to eat all of that? It's amazing what they bring you at that place. And I really believe it's a challenge. Like, what are you going to do? Good luck.
Fail.
Yeah.
More responses here on the text line. I'm going with a large pizza and a burrito.
Ooh.
And a 24-ounce Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Two.
Sure. If you wait, there'll be a fast food restaurant who will make that for you.
Yeah.
Just wait for it.
The chicken taco. I can't get over that. The taco that's the chicken shell. I can't get over that.
It's amazing how our favorite show is always 10 years ahead. Jason, you remember Taco Town
on
SNL? That was this thing that it was like 10 years ago, right? Where they're talking about how they put everything in one because all the customers like everything.
Now that's what I call a taco because it was a huge pizza folded inside another thing.
Isn't there a buttermilk pan? Isn't there a pancake in there wrapped around the deep fried?
Yeah, and then in a crepe and then on top of this.
What's pico de gallo and salsa and oh my goodness.
Then in a travel tote, you know, it's like just kept going.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Taco Town.
Check out this quote here. They're kicking in the door, but they're shocked at what I'm telling them. I said, I'm not looking for no endorsement deal. I'm looking for a marketing and distribution deal. Branding. The only person doing this is Jordan with Nike. That's what we're for. If Lonzo doesn't sign with Adidas, Nike, or Under Armour, guess what? I'll sign the Big Baller brand. We already got our own brand, Triple B's. Lonzo is going to be the first one drafted with his own brand. That don't happen. Your boy, Jason Ross?
His son is.
LeVar Ball.
I'm not claiming his dad.
Dude, you've got to ease back, big fella. You're not doing your boys any help here.
So what do we got? We've got Lonzo, LaMelo, and...
LiAngelo's the middle.
LiAngelo, thank you.
He'll be a freshman next year at UCLA.
Hmm. Here's the thing. Out of curiosity, what's wrong with this dad probably realizing that his kids are special, and what's wrong with him going all in? Richard Williams went all in on his girls.
The only person that is doing that is Jordan with Nike. So let's take about this for a second. Some people forget that Jordan is Nike. You get any version of the first Jordan shoe, it has a swoosh on it. Any Jordan shoe after that, no swoosh. Just the Jordan brand. Kobe, KD, LeBron, all got the swoosh. They all got their own logo, but they all got the swoosh. But this kid from UCLA, he's coming in with his own brand.
You're saying that's not going to happen?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Not, they could have one with Mattel.
I was going to say, it could.
Oh, okay.
Just but a different company.
It's not going to happen with Adidas, Nike, or Under Armour. He can sign with whatever that shoe company in China that Klay Thompson was with for a while. He could do that.
I think it's just the totality of everything. You know, comment after comment, you know, trying to first say his son is going to be better than Steph. And again, I have no problem with the father having thoughts on there. I mean, I understand that part. Then to say my son will only play for the Lakers, he's since backed off that. But why is he getting interviewed? Why are we hearing so much from him?
Well, he followed it up.
Uh-oh.
And I think he's talking to us.
Uh-oh.
Now, all these people saying, LeVar needs to shut up and let his son play. No, you shut up and let my son just play. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And I've been like this all my life. Everybody expects this right now. For me to back up. They can go and do what they do. I'm not backing up. I've been in my son's life all this time. He would be thinking differently if I didn't say anything.
Well, I mean, okay. He's got a point there. But my point is, I think he's making it more difficult for his son. I know he's trying to be helpful, but I think he's making it more difficult for... If he had said, we can attach a statement to him that he said my son's going to play for the Lakers. If the Kings draft him, I think he'll be difficult here. I think his dad will be. I don't know that Lonzo will be, but I think his dad would make things difficult for and not for pure intentions to do it. I think he's difficult.
And now if you're Adidas, you're Nike, and you're Under Armour, you know you have to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
You know that this guy's going to pitch some brand called Big Baller Brand.
Well, look, that's not really a big deal because back 50 years ago when everyone had to deal with the biggest band in the world, the Beach Boys, they had to deal with their uncle who was an absolute, he was difficult, let's just say that. So when the product is good enough, they'll deal with that.
So that's the other question now is the product good enough?
Well,
will the product come April, whatever? It may not even be April. Could be the middle of March. Hopefully for Jason, it's the last day of the college basketball season.
That's what I'm thinking.
Is the product going to be good enough?
I guess we'll find out. But we also think the player that he was compared to before in college is Jason Kidd, who, by the way, never won an NCAA championship. So I don't know if he has to win the NCAA championship with UCLA to be viable talent. But isn't the pressure just the same? If you are a blue-chip athlete coming out of somewhere and you go to UCLA, once you get to that level, your family's already thinking, this one here is going to take us out if you're in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that pressure is already there. Does it make it any more so just because his dad says it out loud? Because it's there anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not only, I think he's going to get drafted no matter what happens. He's going to get drafted.
So the pressure's already on.
Yeah, but then it's to throw these other things out there. I don't know if it adds more, but to me it seems like it would. To say he's already better than Steph, he's going to be better than Steph. To make it, I'm going to have his own brand for him. I don't care what you say. My other sons are going 1 year and out. They're all going pro. My goodness.
Yeah, my question is why would we care? He's a dad. He's not a coach. He's not a recruiter. He's a dad. And he's just like any parent would be about their child. He's just saying it out loud. I don't really think it affects anything. What's the difference between that?
Can you be too involved? Because remember, he's talking about all this. And let's not ignore the fact, and I'm making myself laugh as the thought is running through my head. Mr. Ball at UCLA is a student athlete.
Mm.
He's not allowed to have conversations with Adidas.
Yeah, that's
Nike.
Why. Isn't that why his dad's doing it?
Probably.
Because the son's never said anything. He's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm just trying to play basketball, right?
So, yes, you're right.
Isn't that kind of the best of both worlds? Your dad's taking all the heat?
Correct. Cecil Newton, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, could you also?
He got to keep that money,
and for those
though,
who didn't get the reference, that was Cam's dad.
He got to keep that money, though, huh?
Oh, my gosh. He got a brand new church out of it. Are you kidding me?
I'm just saying.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Could you envision a scenario, I don't know how many years this would have to be, but 5-6 years down the line where all of his sons, if they're all in the NBA, that he's trying to get them all on the same team?
Could.
I could see that, but I could also see them wanting to play together as well.
Possibly.
I could see them being like, hey, this never happened where three brothers got to play on the same NBA team before. And then he's just the one, obviously, that's chirping in their ear and continuing to push that narrative forward. But I don't, I could see it be distracting, but I don't see it being like an issue. Like, say whatever you're going to say. If they don't live up to it, whatever. What's it? How's that make them any different than any other parent who's screaming in the stands?
It's just tough for the kid. It's tough, for, I think, for the kid in this situation. I think it's tough for Lonzo because he's still finding his way at UCLA. We know he's leaving, but UCLA has a legitimate chance to win the NCAA championship. This is a distraction. It really is very similar to what Cecil Newton was to Cam. It's a distraction.
But here's the difference. Do you think this kid really wants to win an NCAA championship? You just said he's getting drafted and he knows it. Does he really care?
Well, maybe he doesn't.
I think he does. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think his two boys care. I watched the highlights of that high school game for the love of everything. Wow. That was some next level. This is exactly what Mark Jackson meant when he said Steph Curry's ruining the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Because they all think they're Steph Curry now. And I guess when your dad's piping up how you're better than Steph Curry, I guess that's probably par for the course. It's come across here on the text line a couple of times. Lots, a ton of NFL news to touch on. We'll dig into the Kirk Cousins situation, what that means for Washington, what that means for San Francisco. Are trade talks dead? Almost certainly. We'll explain next.